Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the Good Morning Football podcast. My name is Kay. I've got Nate Burleson here. Hi, Nate.
Hey, Kay. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. We've got Kyle Brandt. Hello.
Hey, Kay. How you doing?
How you doing, Schrags?
Kay, it's so good to see you.
You too. Peter Schrager in the house. And we're talking preseason action, guys. Just 2 weeks away from kickoff. I feel like we should go to Foxborough and check out that amazing Kansas City Chiefs-Patriots game.
Hashtag Acela.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Nice little three-hour ride up there. All right. Before we get to some guys who are excited and keeping our eye on this preseason, Schrags, what is it about you and a magician?
Oh, okay. So Friday, Kay, I was not here the last week when you guys were going to do the podcast, so we didn't do the podcast, so I appreciate you waiting for me. And last Friday, for Father's Day, my wife, I told her, I said, I don't need any more polo shirts, I don't need any more ties, no more belts, get me an experience. Challenged her. Get me an experience. Something in New York.
Is that really what you said?
Yeah.
Get me an experience?
I said, I want something cool.
That's
so she
amazing.
Said, all right. And there's this like trendy thing to do now on a Friday night in Manhattan in the Nomad Hotel, which is a super high-end hotel in the penthouse suite. And it starts at 10:30 at night. It's this magician. I'm going to plug him here. His name is Dan White. If you want to Google, he's been on Jimmy Fallon 8 times.
Okay.
And it's like they put in, I guess, like 10 different couples. It's like 20 couples. And this guy does this insane magic show. Card tricks, optical illusions, all this stuff, and there's alcohol, and it's a great night out, and my mind was completely blown. I've already reached out to him.
Have you ever been to a magician before, or seen a magician? This guy blew it out of the water.
This guy blew it out of the water. He's got like celebrities are trying to get it. It's one of these deals.
Peter,
where
tell
it's
about
like
the lobby. Tell about the lobby. That's my favorite part.
All right, so I walk in. I don't know anything about it. I think this is going to be like a, you know. Same thing as a birthday.
So regular hotel lobby.
Go to a birthday party, and it's like, you know, you got the magician doing tricks.
Nomad Hotel's nice.
Three-card Monte. Yeah. Go to the lobby. There's a great restaurant there, the Nomad. Everyone's like
good-looking. Walking around.
Business folks. It's in the 20s in Manhattan. Tourists, the whole thing. We walk in, and they tell us on our email, just find the lady in the white dress. Okay. So I walk in. This woman's back is to us. I go, are you the lady in the white dress, like being funny? And she turns to me, and she looks at me like a ghost. And she's like, nods, doesn't say a word. And I said, I'm here for the magic show. And she nods, and she pulls out a card out of her, like, dress and hands it to me and just points up a stairwell. You get to a stairwell, and then someone else is waiting for you and is like, you are here for the magic show. Please come with us here. And they take you to the penthouse, and, Kay, all day Saturday.
I've never heard about this.
All day Saturday, I'm tripping out of my mind because I'm trying to go back and figuring out. This guy does everything. It's card tricks. He guesses number. Like, he would say to you, here's a book. Open any page, you pick any page, and pick a word, and then he'll ask you 2 questions. Be like, count how many letters are in the word, and then you say, okay, and he can judge if it's a short word, and he'd be like, the word you're thinking of is recommendation. And the people around me are like, what in the – like, it was crazy. He did a trick with a guy's wedding ring. I don't want to give it away.
Blew your mind.
But this blew my mind, and I still don't understand it. He is a magician. I don't do magic, so like David Blaine, like it's great, whatever. But this was crazy because I saw it with my own 2 eyes. The guy was standing behind me in line, so I know he wasn't a stage or a prop. Guy comes in. He asks for his wedding ring. He puts it in a lockbox, locks the box. They have everyone try a key to get it in. You can't get it in. It's all the way up in front, probably 20 feet back at the end of the room. And then he says, okay, I'm going to do magic jacket, blah, 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 hocus pocus. And he's like, and your wedding band is there. And it's supposed to be on the guy's hand. He's like, oh, shit. Like, I don't know what to do. Usually this works. I'm sorry, sir. I don't know. And then 2 seconds later, he's like, actually, you know what? Why don't you go and check in the back of the room? And the guy's wedding band is stuck on a wine glass in the back of the room. And you're like,
the skinny part of the
wine glass. Not in it. It's on the stem.
Skinny part. So you couldn't even do it. And then
everyone. It's intimate? Pretty. It has
to be,
right?
Yeah, it's like 20 people. And they got a great menu and liquor, and we were out till 1 a.m. and still to this day,
that's amazing.
I'm a little bugged out. So I reached out to him.
Did you?
And Peter, I was like, we got to get you on
White?
The show.
What's
Dan
his name?
White. Comedian Dan White. Dan White.
Okay.
I'm like, you got to come on our show. And his agent wrote back.
I got to see
like,
how this guy looks.
We're trying to figure it out. He's done Fallon 6 times.
Right.
Questlove loves him. Like everything all over Twitter is Questlove, like posing with him.
How did you hear about him?
I didn't hear. Erica knew. My wife
really?
Knew.
Like, the wife came like through.
She was like, shout out to the like wife. Thing.
Right. Nate, you know what he needs to do? He needs to take that act to the hood.
I'm saying.
White goes to the hood.
Oh, my God. Come on now. Black dudes running all over the streets.
I wasn't going to say it, Nate. I wasn't going to say it, but you would be running out of your chair if you saw this stuff.
I'd be in the lobby after one of those tricks. He'd be starting next trick. I'd be boom,
the
in the elevator going back
it.
Up.
Magician. It was insane. And I'm not a big magic guy. In fact, I almost think magic is a little weird. Like, if you get into magic or if you're a clown, I think of you like, oh, what was going on in your childhood that you really – this guy was a historian. He was like, in 1972, Houdini did this. I'm like, okay, I'm in. This guy.
Yeah. Were there rules? Was it like, don't do this, don't do that, and nothing like that before you
just
went?
No cell phones, right. No cameras, and just let your disbelief take over. Don't worry about – like, enjoy it. You can question it, but, like, don't second-guess everything because you're not going to – it's going to drive you
nuts.
It's going to drive you nuts if you try.
It's funny because you – like, I also come across magicians in my life, but they're a little kid's birthday party. You'll get there in a couple of years, and that's those clowns. Right. And I just – two words with those guys, background check. Mm-hmm. I'm always like – why are you a clown at kids' birthday parties? I'm always a little leery of that. You know what I mean? It's a little.
Got to get him on the show,
you're
though.
You're on a roll, though. You were at Chappelle, then you went to
Dave
this.
Chappelle
and
was
then
great.
You're on your way to Cabo.
Going to Cabo. Got to get it in. Okay, I'm
you're
gone.
You're living your best life.
I'm gone every weekend during the season in cities that are not as glamorous as Cabo in New York City.
You're going
City.
To LA what? And San Francisco right off the bat. Those are pretty
good,
glamorous cities, right?
You're going to go to any state of Michigan ever?
I will be in Detroit at some point, yes. A lot of Minnesota. These are cold weather cities. And so my wife and I try to get as much fun time in the summer because I'm gone literally Thursday to Sunday every week till February, so we gotta have some cool experiences.
How about you? You going to the cold weather city, Kay?
Yeah.
You have a weekend job on Sunday for DirecTV, and you have a new cohort.
Ooh.
There.
I do.
How about that?
I do. I have Michael Rappaport guys with me.
Has it been announced?
I think so. I think he announced it. He announced it on the Rich Eisen show a couple of weeks ago. So he fancies himself a senior fantasy analyst.
The lovely put the
it's
senior
amazing,
in.
It's amazing because he just like, not that he's poking fun at it, but he's, you know, he's super passionate. He's like the fan voice of everything. Yeah. So it's going to be a very interesting and good time.
I would love to see you do a segment with Michael Rappaport and Ian Rappaport, right? Wouldn't that be the best? Rap sheet and then both sides. I'm a huge Michael Rappaport fan.
I think he's like has a fantasy podcast and stuff. I think he's one of those people who gets really passionate about something and like really goes in on it.
Yeah, so and by the way, it goes big on the internet too.
That'd actually be good. Rap sheet versus raps
and the rapper.
We had Rappaport on our show, right?
Michael?
On Good Morning Football?
Yeah. We've had both Rappaport.
How many hours is your show on Sundays? The whole afternoon?
Yeah, it starts at 1, but we get there at like 8 because we pre-tape a bunch of stuff and there's a lot going on and it ends at like 7:30
And it's on DirecTV. And it's constant commentary of like what's going on fantasy-wise?
It's basically like what you would see Scott Hansen or Andrew Siciliano do on Red Zone, but it's talking fantasy.
It's a fun show.
That's cool.
Nate and I were both on it.
You guys both visited me.
That's cool.
Guys, we should talk about the preseason. Let's do it. Guys, we're very excited about. I know you're going to LA off the bat. Peter, I know you're excited about Cooper Kupp and what's going on with Jared Goff, and it's impressive over there. But let's start with Nate here. Nate, who's the guy that sort of has your interest?
You know, I'm going to go plural. I'm going to go guys, and I'm looking at Oakland. You know, I've been a big Marshawn Lynch fan since he came in the league, and just seeing him back on the field, it gave me a different feeling. And it's, you know, that missing piece. They got rid of Latavius Murray. And you've seen him just run up the gut. He bounces back. He looks strong, motivated. The last time I seen Marshawn Lynch smile on the field, he was running through linebackers and safeties. And then the other guy is Crabtree. He looks like he's in regular season form. I mean, he caught that ball, made a move, shook a dude, and got in the end zone. We're not even talking about Amari Cooper or the highest paid player in the NFL and Derek Carr. That defense, Khalil Mack. So there's so many things that got me excited about Oakland. And
the
not to mention,
is the only thing that keeps
they were
me
so
back.
Close. They were so close last year, so I feel like they're motivated now more than ever. Like, some teams get close, and I can almost predict that they'll head in the opposite direction the following year. It's like, you know, they'll pull a Carolina, and they'll start walking backwards. But I feel like we've only seen the beginning of what Oakland is going to bring to the table. So I'm hoping, just for the sake of the NFL, just for the parity, that they step up and they make a run at the AFC Championship game and they look Patriots square in the eyes and punch them in the mouth. I would love to see how the Patriots respond to
a
team that's not scared of them.
Year.
Yeah. It was the biggest buzzkill of all of last season. Yeah. The greatest story of the year, I think, was the Raiders.
Yep.
And then it was just nothing at the end. And Derek Carr gets hurt and the playoff game they played was frankly
Connor Cook
was a farce. Yeah. It was a joke. Yeah. So, look, I want to see it again too. I want that sequel because I, you know, my thing, I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns. ever since I started working for the league and stopped being just a Bears fan, I'm a fan of every team. So I love new teams. Yeah. I want fresh things. As much as we love Steelers, guys, Packers, they're great. Like, I thought it was really cool that the Carolina Panthers, out of nowhere, were in a Super Bowl. I love that the Arizona Cardinals were in a Super Bowl. So you talk about the Browns, my entire adult life, they've been absolutely terrible. Yeah. They've never been more exciting. All those fun rookies. And Garrett, I also celebrate the institution of the number one pick in the draft. I don't like the Steve Entmans. I like Cam. I like Andrew Luck.
Bruce
I like those guys.
Right.
Those guys are legends.
Yeah.
So Myles Garrett, now you were in the fraternity, and he looks so good.
He's living up to it.
I love watching preseason games and just looking at a defensive end.
What
I don't
is
care
it
what
about him?
Ball.
I don't. You break it down.
Just
for
like
me.
Pure physical specimen, like almost like a LeBron. Like when you watch LeBron come to the league, you're like, whoa. Like he pops off the screen. It's not just like I get down in my stance and I rush the passer. There's this explosion that takes place.
Different than Clowney, because Clowney was a couple years ago and it had the same kind of feel for me.
Similar to Clowney. I don't think that's different from Clowney at all.
I believe that.
And it's a good thing.
But I think that Garrett, separate from Clowney, even separate from LeBron, he speaks differently, approaches the game differently. LeBron was like a humble, like mega man. Like he looked big. He was a giant phenom, but he didn't talk like Garrett. So Garrett is very adamant. I want to be a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. I'm going to light this league up. Nobody can stop me. I'm going to keep going, and I'm going to come downhill, and I'm going to cause chaos. LeBron didn't talk like that. LeBron didn't talk like that until he's like 5-6 years in the league.
I know.
Garrett's different, man. And I feel you, KB. He might be the most electrifying number one prospect we've seen in this league in a long time.
He's not going to get the love because he's in Cleveland and he's a defensive player. Like, he's going to have to really pop off the
page. You got
to
be a star.
To get like those sort of endorsements, you know, the kind of stuff that those Watts.
It's almost like he doesn't want the. Like, Cam wanted the love, right? I feel like Cam fought for it.
He definitely did.
Garrett seems like he doesn't want the love, he wants the respect. And that's scary for a guy at his position.
I think Cam also threw for 400 yards his first two games as a pro and was like, I'm going to earn that respect. Garrett needs to do something now.
If he sacks Roethlisberger in the first series, the first game, like, that's it. And he does have the personality.
Does he look comfortable out there? Like, does he look like a rookie at all?
Yeah, I think he looks like a little raw. I mean, like, I read about stuff that he bull rushes every time and he needs to work on his pass rush. I don't know. It's just like, he looks like he belongs. Like, he's making some tackles look like they don't belong, which is incredible because he's so young and he hasn't even played a game yet. He gets me fired up. If the Cleveland Browns this year, Nate, you've talked about it.
Yeah.
If they went like 7-9, 2 years from now, if the Cleveland Browns are in the playoffs, that would make my day. I think that is so cool, man. You know?
I feel you.
As much as I love the stalwarts, I like the turnovers. Yeah. Let's see it.
I look at the rookie quarterbacks. I go back to February, the combine, and I remember, I'm not going to put everyone on blast, but it was like Mike Mayock, Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, Charlie Casterly. There's no quarterbacks. There's no quarterbacks in this draft. There's no first-round quarterbacks. There's no one worth talking about.
That's a good call.
There's no one worth talking about. And I remember being very resistant to that. And I'm not saying I told you so, but I just know how this league goes. There will be quarterbacks drafted in the first round every year because teams need that and organizations need to stay afloat. They're never going to take an offensive tackle over a quarterback if they need a quarterback. And let's give these guys a shot. So Trubisky goes 2 overall. Everyone says, oh, my God, they jumped the gun. They shouldn't have done that. Oh, my God. All right. He looks pretty good. Mahomes, everyone said, he can't play in the NFL. He put up college.
He's too raw.
Too raw. The Chiefs traded up a pick, moved up, got him, and he looks pretty good. Kaiser looks pretty good in the second round. Watson looks really good. And now there's Nathan Peterman. There's CJ Beathard. There's this, what's his name, Cody Rush. I can't
remember.
Cooper Rush with Dallas. The rookie quarterbacks are making these preseason games really fun to watch.
You're
so
right.
My point would be just, you know, slow down in February of just tearing these kids down. Let them at least go through the process because – sometimes in the media, we want to, you know, put a stamp on a guy right away and say he's either going to be the next great thing or he doesn't have what I believe is the tools. But that's not in congruence with what the NFL thinks because the NFL always needs new quarterbacks. There's never enough. And I think if you're looking at Jacksonville, I think they wish they took a quarterback early at some point because now you got Henny and you know, Bortles, and you're like, well, it's one of those two, and we're not exactly lighting up the fires with either one of those guys.
You made a great point. You're like, look. They have Bortles and Henny, and you drafted a running back in the top five. I mean, like a running back, the position where
Jalen Ramsey
is
a cornerback they took last year in the top five, and the year before that they took Luke Jokel, number two overall. Like at some point, take a quarterback. You know, Dante Fowler is not going to win you a Super Bowl. A quarterback might.
So it's if they true. Had drafted, if the Jags had not taken Leonard Fournette, number four overall, and took instead Trubisky, they would be starting him week one?
Yeah, I think. I mean, I know they like Deshaun Watson. Trubisky's off the board by that point. So let's say they like Deshaun Watson. He was a college superstar. He won in the South. there's new energy, but there's this commitment to Bortles that just makes me scratch my head. I know the GM drafted Bortles, and maybe it's kind of like protecting his own thing, but like, look, it ain't going to suddenly click for Bortles this year.
Don't you think, and this is your point too, like to take a quarterback, it makes sense, like the, especially like even economically speaking, fiscally for these teams, but like I think it's too soon to say anything about any of them. They can be lighting up the preseason against
true.
The two and
you're
three
right.
all
100%.
We want. But you have like, look at what's going on in Denver. Like Paxton Lynch, like the only reason that was a quarterback competition is because they took this kid in the first round, so they're like, well, we have to... If it was the other way around, or if he wasn't a first-round pick, we know that it would be Trevor Siemian's job from the jump of the offseason into the season. So to me, it's like you have a Paxton Lynch, you have a Dak Prescott like that could emerge that's a sixth-rounder or seventh-rounder. None of us really know, and that's, I think, to your point of why they should take them, because the chances are you don't have a Tom Brady or Dak Prescott in the bunch, right?
Yes, and we got four guys we're talking about, the big four. Through 2 weeks, not one of them has thrown an interception. They all look like they're great. Looks like the greatest quarterback class ever. Of those four, probably a couple of them are not going to work out. I mean, not all four of them are going to
go to Pro Bowl. I don't think any of them
start week one. I mean long-term, though. Like, we're going to look back, and a couple of those guys
like,
were
Bortles
not the answer.
It
always happens.
They did. But then now he's completely lost it. Like, that could easily happen. It's
100%.
Sort of
the odds say a couple will fail as long-term projects. A couple of these guys, as good as they look now, they will.
Given your best bet or your best shot, who has what it takes of the four?
Limited sample size.
I'll go him. I'll go with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love him down there. I loved him in college. It's the same reasons everybody loves him. And then he comes in, and what we talk about all the time now, it's almost become a joke, is looks the part. I just like right now, I don't try to draw huge conclusions about this guy. I just like body language, calmness, smoothness, that
poise.
Type of thing. Poise, presence. I know something you're a fan of, Kay. And Deshaun Watson looks in there, he's like, okay, yeah, this is the NFL. Like, I think I'm going to be all right. And that's what jumps off after 2 weeks.
Yeah, for me, it's Deshaun Watson. It's the same guy. It's the combination of him having that composure and also that competitive spirit. Like, you know, I know he's intelligent. I know he can make plays, but he's fired up out there. He realizes that he's close to snatching that starting position. I don't know if he'll get it or not, but there's something about him, man. Deshaun Watson seems like a guy that can last 13 years in this league.
Remember the rap? Yeah. He threw too many interceptions in college. Like, he hasn't thrown one yet. Yes,
he's
a pretty good action.
He's making great decisions out there. He looks good.
I think Mahomes is the big play. I think Trubisky's going to be good too. But I think Mahomes,
two years
down the line.
When did this happen with you and Mahomes,
Because of what
though.
I'm hearing. Yeah. That this guy is lighting it up.
But this didn't happen until the Chiefs took him, right?
Like, yeah, I wasn't a huge Mahomes guy because I saw the 746 yards passing in a game, but I also saw that he didn't know how to take a ball from center. So I was like, all right, slow down. But everyone I'm talking to with Kansas City ties and who's seen him is like, he's playing really well. Here's the other thing. He's elevated Alex Smith's game. Alex Smith is playing well
this
preseason, too.
That's the best thing that's happened.
And Alex Smith is tutoring him. Like, for Alex Smith, and I know this is not something to like compliment, but you know, he's already had this happen to him with Kaepernick. Kaepernick came and stole his job and took a team to the Super Bowl. And Alex Smith, here we go again, the whole deal. And for him to not be guarded and him not to be territorial, for him to like be somewhat of a mentor to the young kid again, says a lot about him, and that's maybe why he's gonna be the starter, because they have so much respect for him in the locker room.
Peter,
you think Alex Smith is gone after this year?
No.
That's the question. Or say, let's say
I kind of do. I think
you
that,
think?
I think that I don't think Patrick Mahomes starts this year.
I think if
I really don't.
If Alex Smith comes out and goes 11-5 this year, there's no argument to be made. He's a starter next year. You find a way to make it work. I think if he goes 8-8, and the other kid comes in week 16 and week 17 and lights it up, that's a discussion.
I think there is an argument. I think if they go 11-5 and they host a playoff game and they lose again, and Alex Smith is just average, they might be like, we need to change something here.
No.
You know, it's the old Marty Schottenheimer getting fired as head coach after he was 13-3 or 15-1 or whatever it is. I mean, you want to keep doing that every year?
Well, Tony Romo did it every year. It's not like he had his job like until he got hurt.
I think
11-5 is a pretty good deal.
It's a great deal.
It's a great Mahomes defense. Great. I don't know.
When do we see Mahomes?
I say 2 years.
I think 2 years is a safe bet.
So we're not going to see him start this year.
Unless Alex Smith struggles or gets injured.
Yeah.
And if
I
he
love
does,
what he's doing. The effect that Alex Smith I'm seeing. Are you kidding me? This preseason, Alex Smith looks awesome.
He does.
36-yard down the field to Travis Kelce.
He always looks awesome.
I haven't seen that. That's
amazing. It was really good. But
he always
why would you
awesome.
Draft Mahomes now to use him in 2 years?
Because he might be the guy. I mean, you might not be so sure that you're going to get that pick next year. He was their best prospect on the board.
Right.
They were aggressive. I know that Dorsey and Reed both loved him. I like it. It's aggressive. If you're going to be aggressive for a quarterback. Don't be aggressive for a backup corner.
I'd be aggressive to try to win a Super Bowl now, though. Like, you take someone like a wide receiver or a tight end.
But
we can win now with Alex Smith.
It might take 2 years for Alex Smith to rub off on Mahomes. Like, you remember Aaron Rodgers sat behind Favre, and he sat there and had to soak up some of what Favre had to offer. And that helped Aaron Rodgers, just sitting back, relaxing, and watching it from an outside perspective.
And the talent was never an issue for Mahomes at all. It was all, you know, and he even admitted it when he was going through the draft process. He said, I have to win at the board. I have to go up to the whiteboard and show that I know what I'm talking about.
You can learn that from Alex.
Yeah.
Who are you excited about, Kay?
I'm trying to think.
Trubisky?
No. I don't think – Chicago's just such a sad story. Who am I excited about?
Could be any player.
Zay. You like Zay? Talk about Zay.
I like
Zay.
I feel like he's got like an Antonio Brown chip on his shoulder thing, mm-hmm. which I really like. Small school, and he's got some pedigree, and he's a good player. I really, for fantasy terms, I love Kareem Hunt. I really do.
Really?
I do.
Chief.
Third rounder out of Toledo. I think Spencer Ware, he only had 2 touchdowns the last 8 games, and he sort of trailed off last season. Mm-hmm. And Kareem Hunt just looks
He had a
really,
really cool
good.
Run last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he had a little stiff arm, and he had this we didn't get to show it on the show, but he had an insane like Frank Gore pass block. It was awesome. All you need to do if you're a young running back is protect your quarterback, right? So he did that, and it was awesome. So I very much so like him. I just want to, honestly, the person I'm most intrigued by is Cam, I think.
Mm. Ooh.
The Panthers, like 6-10.
How about their rookies?
Come back. Yeah. It's not even the rookies. Like, I think I'm the only one that's really skeptical or, like, don't really understand what it means that they want to change the offense and the philosophy of the team and how that's going to look and any adjustments that they're going to make. Because I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah. Oh, really? You don't think that Cam's broken?
I just think Cam's going to want to, like, run it in himself and make plays and, like, be who he is and like, telling him, like, no, we're going to, like, dink right now. I don't think it's really going to work.
It reminds me of what we saw with Jameis.
It's going to take some time to work.
Yeah. It reminds me, we saw this whole thing on Hard Knocks about Dirk Cutter telling Jameis, you can't lose games for us. You have to do that.
Right.
Cam has to change fundamentally. They got him different players. It's tough to do that.
So two weeks in, are you guys, is the hype that we've been sort of driving on the Buccaneers, like, worth it?
Yeah.
Like, it's met as advertised?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah?
They look really good.
They look loaded.
Like, win the division good?
Well, we said this thing. What do we call them? I did, like, the watchability index. I'm looking at the slate of games right now, guys, and it's a good segue with the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
It's like, if you had to pick any of these games, you can only watch one game this weekend, starting with Thursday night's games. I think I might pick Browns at Bucks, as crazy as that is.
Oh, definitely. I
feel like I'm excited for the Browns. They're young. And then the Buccaneers, like, I feel like we're all in on them because of this ride that we get with Hard Knocks and the way they played last Thursday night, where they were unbelievable against the Jaguars. It doesn't stop. So to me, that's the most, I mean, as crazy
that's
as
better than Raiders Cowboys?
You've got Raiders at Cowboys, which is awesome. But I think I want to watch Browns Buccaneers.
You're right. I was looking at these games and I wanted to pick another one, but you're right.
Pick another one.
No. Chargers Rams.
Browns Bucks.
Chargers Rams.
Chargers Rams. Okay,
not even
LA.
Fight for LA, but I'm like pleasant. I'm very hard on the Rams, right? Like, I've worked for them in St. Louis. I'm, you know, Jared Goff has never won a game. Like, throw down the field. I have Sammy Watkins. What are we doing here? Like, you guys had, you know, not an argument, Peter and Nate, but like the thing about Sark and Kyle Shanahan leaving and the impact. I think you guys were having the right argument about the wrong offensive coordinator.
It's addition, not subtraction.
No, I think it's just Sean McVay seems to be the X factor. Mm-hmm. Like, he left. Like, what are the Redskins doing on offense right now? Not very much. What are the Rams looking like on offense? But really competent. He looks decisive.
Yeah.
Jared Goff looks better than we've ever seen him.
He's starting from zero. I mean, literally.
You've got to think the difference is the coaching, right?
Like, Rob Boris is a nice guy. He was the offensive coordinator last year. He was a tight ends coach calling plays.
Yeah.
So it's tough in the NFL. And he was out of Benedictine College is where they found him. So, like, this is not Sean McVay is, like, a polished offensive genius.
So are we,
like,
worried about the Redskins without him?
No, because I think Matt Cavanaugh, who's the new offensive coordinator, is, like, a 60-year-old guy who's been in the league forever also. I think they'll be okay, but the Goff thing, I've said it time and time again, I think he might be the most improved player this year just because he was going from literally the base level and then now he's climbing a mountain.
To me, the Chargers, like, their offensive line's a mess again. Injuries.
Got an injury, Dan Feeney.
Again. Mm-hmm. I'm not happy about it.
I think we're sleeping on the Brian Hoyer versus Sam Bradford on Sunday night, Niners-Vikings. Now, I would do, if I had to pick a game, give me Cardinals-Falcons on Saturday night. First of all, I love the Tyrann Mathieu's back. He made already a breathtaking play against the Bears. I think he's the most exciting player, defensive player, at least in football. And then the Falcons are kind of cool and new, and the first offense looks awesome, and now there's Tack is out there. And I want to see Atlanta.
You said
this
that like Rich Schroeder.
There's Tack is out there. Tack and Dak and the Packers. He's one of our producers. He's from Minnesota. He talks like that.
These are sweatpants and pizza games, guys.
I mean, I look at that Sunday. They're all on national TV. So you have the Bears at Titans. Not going to do a Fox promo, but it's Charles Davis and Burkhart. And then you have Aikman and Buck doing Bengals at Redskins. And then you get Collinsworth and Michaels doing 49ers Vikings. Cancel your plans on Sunday. That's good.
Yeah. right. Anything else, guys, to add? All set?
No. Dan White. Go see him.
Third dress rehearsal get him on the show. Game. I mean, would he come on, do you think?
I don't know.
How do you reach out to his agent? How does that happen?
I Googled the website. It says contact. I just went to a blank slate and said, my name is Peter. I work on a television show. We'd like to have you on as a guest. And the agent got back to me. The only issue is these tricks, they're like, you know, 13-minute trick. Let's build. And so I got to see if he can do that.
Three-hour show, Peter.
If he went on Fallon and he did a trick with them, he could do one on us.
His agent is the lady in white, I think. Right?
That's it.
That's her. Yeah, we'll contact her.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you guys next week, same time, same place. Where can you download it, Nate?
NFL.com/podcast. Also, Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher.
Bye.